Jaya Gopinanda Lava Jaya Gopinanda Lava Girivara Dari Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vandachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari
His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Go. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text Number 30. Oh, wait a minute. Did we do Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya?
No.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tvam Pratyag Atmani Tada Bhagavati Ananta Tvam Pratyag Atmani Tada Bhagavati Ananta Ananda Matra Upapana Samasta Sakto Ananda Matra Upapapana Samasta Sakto Bhaktim Vidhaya Paramam Sanakir Avidya Bhaktim Vidhaya Paramam Sanakar Avidya Grantim Vipetsyasi Mamaham iti prarudham grantim vibetsyasi mamaham iti prarudham tvam pratyag atmani tada bhagavatyananta ananda matra upapana samasta shakto Bhaktim Vidhaya Paramam Sanakera Vidya Grantim Vibetsyasi Mamaham Iti Prarudham Tvam Pratyag Atmani Tada Bhagavatyananta Ananda Matra Upapana Samasta Shakto Bhaktim Vidhaya Paramam Sanakara Vidya Grantim Vibetsyasi Mamaham Iti Prarudham Tvam pratyag atmani tada bhagavatyananta Anandamatra upapana samasta shakto Bhaktim vidhaya paramam sanakera vidya Prantim vivetsyasi mamaham iti prarudham Ladies. You, pratyag atmani, unto the super soul. Tada, at that time, bhagavati, unto the supreme personality of Godhead. Anante, who is unlimited. Anandamatre, the reservoir of all pleasure. Upapana, possessed of. Samasta, all. Sakto, potencies. Bhaktim, devotional service. Vidhaya, by rendering. Paramam, supreme. Sanakai, very soon. Avidya, of illusion. Grantim, the knot. Vipetsyasi, you will undo. Mama, my. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Prarudham, firmly fixed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the super soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of 5 years he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though liberated, he was, for the time being, afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction in the material world, to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. I'll read the translation again. Thus, regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Om Agyanata Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvare, Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Panamani Haripriye, Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is quite an interesting situation that Dhruva is described, Prabhupada is describing Dhruva's already a liberated person, but that for the time being, he's afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama and the bodily concept of life. So we all find ourselves, at least when we begin Krishna consciousness, when we take up the process, it's difficult to distinguish between I and mine, that mentality, and the Krishna conscious mentality, because it's natural, because we're not really, the Krishna conscious mentality is something which is not familiar to us. We're not familiar with the thought patterns of pure devotees. These are things that we have to learn. We by association with devotees, gradually we pick up these kinds of habits and thought patterns and ways of seeing the world. And we see that even a person like Dhruva Maharaj, such an exalted personality, incredibly exalted, still, he's fallen into illusion. So, we also understand, Prabhupada describes here that, where is he? He says that, without difficulty, by taking up, the illusion of Dhruva Maharaj can be eradicated without difficulty by taking up devotional service. So, it sounds very encouraging, without difficulty. Difficulty means difficult, and without difficulty means no difficulty, it means easy. So, we understand that Prabhupada was very encouraging. Chant and dance and be happy. That's the kind of the motto that we all kind of, that's like the kind of the motto that you give out, and when you're on the Rathi Yatra, this is the kind of sort of information we give. Chant, dance and be happy. This is such a sublime movement, just by chanting and dancing and taking prasadam, we can dance our way back to Godhead. But we know that after some time of trying this process, that it's not quite as, you know, rosy and kind of easy. Although it can be, but in general we start to find difficulties. So, of course, you know, when we get into reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then we find Prabhupada starts to disclose a lot of details about how this all applies to us in our different situations. In the third canto, in one purport, Prabhupada says that Bhakti Yoga, as described before, is divided into four divisions. Three in the material modes of nature, and one in transcendence. One in transcendence, which is untinged by the modes of material nature. Devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature is a means for material existence, whereas devotional service without desires for fruitive results and without attempts for empirical philosophical research is pure transcendental devotional service. So, okay, this is a kind of an interesting detail here, that we've got four kinds of devotional service divided into four divisions, Bhakti Yoga. Three in the modes of nature and one in transcendence. So, we understand goodness, passion, and ignorance, that we can be performing in devotional service. In, if our nature, if our mode, every one of us, before we come into Krishna consciousness, has a mixture of modes which affect us. And it's invisible. We don't, you can't put your finger on it. For a person who's afflicted by the modes, they don't know they're afflicted by the modes. And they the way they act and think comes completely naturally. And they think, this is the way I am. I'm just like, I'm naturally like this. You know, no one really has this idea that there are actually these kind of modes, these external agencies, these atmospheres, influences, which are affecting us. And a person in the mode of ignorance may come, like Prabhupada one time in New York, was giving a lecture in the storefront, and probably half the audience were completely intoxicated, although they may not have been showing it. But then one person came in, like a real sort of out of it Bowery bum, drunkard, came in, and what was it? I think he bought some toilet paper or something, and he put the toilet paper into the toilet, you know. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, this is the beginning of his devotional service. So that was devotional service in the mode of ignorance. The man was in the mode of ignorance, but somehow or another he had this idea, let me give this to these people. So we're probably more familiar with devotional service than the mode of passion, because the mode of passion is the kind of predominant mode which hits people in their kind of midlife, well, from the very beginning, but it becomes really apparent when you become an adult. Mode of passion really kicks in, and you know, you've got this drive to do something, to make something of yourself in the world, to be successful, even amongst devotees. I remember hearing a story about how in one of our big communities somewhere, somebody died and left $30,000, I think it was $300,000 to the temple. And so one devotee was thinking, oh wow, this is great, $300,000, you know, what can we do with $300,000? So he was thinking, hey, this is a great opportunity to get our young people and to kind of create an environment in our community where the young people can be engaged in Krishna consciousness and they don't have to go outside. We can really do something for them. So he brought it up to the temple management and they were saying, what are you talking about? We're not going to do that. You know, this is a lot of money. You know, it's like, and the devotees saying, well, but the thing is, we need to get, you know, we need to have some success with the devotees. We need to kind of really give some success to our youths, help them in some way. And the devotee in charge was saying, well, but we're already successful. He says, look, you just go out into the parking lot, okay, and you have a look. You see how many BMWs there are, how many, you know, Volvos there are, how many Mercedes there are. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was all just clapped out cars in the car park. Now, we've got all these cars, you know, we're successful. You know, this is success. The devotees have become successful, you know. So therefore, we're going to spend this money on maybe on a new guest house or something like this, you know. So, what is success? We see that, you know, mode of passion, that is really, this is the kind of success that you expect in the mode of passion. And then even in the mode of goodness, happiness comes from being very learned in Shastra. So we understand that as we enter into Krishna consciousness, we start to read these books and we start to kind of accumulate knowledge. We begin to understand as we evolve in our Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, we have a very naive understanding of Krishna consciousness. But as we kind of go by, as the years go by, at a certain point, we may hold certain things to be true. And then a devotee will preach to us or we'll hear something in a class and we'll realize, oh, our conception of Krishna consciousness has to be altered because what we had thought was a certain standard actually is higher than that. And gradually, as we go through our lives in Krishna consciousness, we begin to see different perspectives in the way Krishna consciousness applies to our life. So, there are, we understand, apart from the three modes of material nature, there's also the varnas, the four varnas. So we've got, we are born, each one of us is born with a particular varna. And then the three modes of material nature are like imposing themselves on everybody uniformly, according to their karma. So it's very difficult to find the way. So Prabhupada describes this mixed, this devotional service, as the process of devotional service, but it's mixed, and mixed in these different ways. So Prabhupada calls this, there are different names for it, Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, whereby we are, we're doing devotional service, it's the motivation is right, but we get waylaid, that the tendency is to become waylaid or to become kind of diverted into the material aspect. So, for instance, for a grihastha, we sometimes preach to people before they join that are living outside, we say to them, okay, just add the chanting of Hare Krishna to your life. You know, just do that one thing. Because, you know, people, they find themselves in certain situations, in certain positions, and they think that they can't change that situation. So we say to them, don't worry, you don't need to panic, just add Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and gradually become purified. And this is a fact. But as this Hare Krishna is applied, sometimes I remember in London we had some life members we were preaching to, and they had a shop. And to get into their house for programs, you had to go through the shop to go upstairs. So as the devotees were walking through the shop, we would notice what was in the freezer, you know, and certain cans, you know, what was the contents of those cans, like a lot of meat, you know. And, but, you know, we didn't want to kind of rock the boat initially, you know, we wanted to just see what we could do. And eventually this family became very favorable, and they said, what should we do? You know, we have these, we're selling these things, but this is our business. What can we do? So then the devotees said to them, well, you know, maybe you need to get into another business. Maybe either stop selling these particular items or get into another business. So eventually, that family, they stopped the selling the supermarket business and they got into the laundry business. You know, the laundromat business is a lot less karma involved in washing people's clothes. So, so in this way, they gradually moved. Now the thing we understand is that Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita, in the purport of 5.11, Prabhupada says, a person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in so many so-called material activities. So, all right, we've got these material activities that are going on to maintain ourselves. We've become a grihastha, we have children, they have to be maintained. We have to do some work. So we have a choice to what kind of work are we going to do and how are we going to do it? So in the material world, it's very difficult because there are so many influences from the outside. It's difficult to maintain one's Krishna consciousness when one is surrounded by people who don't have any Krishna consciousness. There's a saying that one has to learn the art of catching the fish without getting wet. So in Krishna consciousness, we may have to do work, but we have to do that work without being influenced. And it's a very difficult thing to do. Influences are very subtle. Prabhupada said, if you associate with drunkards, then you become a drunkard. You associate with materialists, you become a materialist. So association is an important thing. At the very end, and Prabhupada was speaking about devotee association, a man is known by his company. Associating with the modes of material nature, the modes of passion and ignorance is very, very dangerous because one has to take birth in many, many forms. So therefore, they should be brought into goodness. So Prabhupada really emphasized this, that it's very important for the devotees to work in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada would constantly be pointing out the faulty mentality in the material world, which is generated by the mode of passion. He was saying that Western civilization, they're creating motor cars every year, and the bank is prepared to give you a loan so that you may work day and night. Take a loan from the bank and purchase a motor car and repay him by working so their machine will go on. This is the policy. Economic policy, is it not? Yes. Keep them working, busy. But what is the purpose of this working? Now, when death is there, everything is finished, and everything will be finished. For that working, just see their knowledge. Everything will be finished, and for this purpose I have to work so hard. So this is the problem when we are living out in the material world, trying to be a devotee, and at the same time trying to maintain our families. We're put into an impossible situation, because more and more we need to everything is stacked against us. The whole material world is stacked against us. Just Prabhupada points out, you want a car? Okay, we'll give you the money. You want a house? Okay, we'll give you the money. But then you have to work the rest of your life to pay off the money, and you pay twice the price of what you would have paid if you'd had the cash. So how can you increase your Krishna consciousness? We're supposed to chant with attention, but if we have to get in the car and drive, Prabhupada sometimes describes, people are driving 4 hours to work, working 8 hours, driving 4 hours to get home. We have devotees that are doing this. How can you develop your Krishna consciousness? How are you going to be able to be happy and make advancement? What to speak of getting out of the material modes of nature? Just the nature of driving a car puts you in the mode of passion. When you stop driving and you sit down somewhere, you can still see white lines coming towards you in your mind's eye. It's very difficult to get out of that it just seeps into you very much. So if you're every day of your life, if you're working in such a situation, what is the hope for you becoming Krishna conscious in any kind of significant way? It's very difficult. So Prabhupada wanted us to work together, to help each other. Who else is going to help us in Krishna consciousness but another devotee? No one else. The karmas are not going to even think of it. They have their own agendas, they have their own desires, and we have to learn this art of catching the fish without getting wet. We need to, sometimes devotees say, there's often a saying that, we want to be like natural in the world. Because, when we're in our workplace and people get to know us and they're friendly with us and we joke with them and we build up this kind of rapport and this, we build up a kind of a friendship with them. Then one day they discover that we're devotees. And they go, oh, you're Hare Krishna? And then that kind of intrigues them. What is this Hare Krishna? This person is my friend. I've known him for a long time. And, we get along and we do all sorts of things together. And then all of a sudden I find out that this person is a vegetarian.